This podcast is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com. Lab-tested clean foods and supplements for immune function, long-term storage, and survival applications. Every purchase helps fund this free speech video platform. Thank you for your support. So there are some very important lessons that we can learn from the Beirut explosion. The official story says that it was due to 2,500 tons of ammonium nitrate that was being stored in this building there at the port in Beirut. And that I think the official story says that it was a welding accident or something, right? They had some guy come in who was a welder, and welding produces sparks and flames and things, of course. And apparently nobody told him, hey, you're welding right next to 2,500 tons of ammonium nitrate, which causes a big boom if your sparks get on it. And then the whole thing goes up. It's just cause and effect at that point. So you might think of ammonium nitrate as stored kinetic potential, compressed into a relatively small, dense substance. And it was sitting there all those years. Apparently it's been stored there for 6 or 7 years. Again, this is the official story. I'm not sure I believe the official story, but let's just roll with it for the purposes of this thought experiment. So it's sitting there for all these years, and then it just goes kaboom when they light it up with, you know, welding sparks. So the lesson in this is that in society, we can be operating right next to massively dangerous, potentially explosive situations that are right next to us, that are right under our nose. You know, there were millions of people, well, I don't know how many millions, living in Beirut and the greater Beirut area. Certainly hundreds of thousands in that city, you know, not far from the bomb, right? They didn't have any idea that they were living next to something that would go kaboom. They had no idea. And the stockpile of chemicals was well-behaved day after day after day. It didn't spontaneously explode all on its own, right? It took a spark to set it off. Well, this is a metaphor for our financial debt bomb, the global debt bomb, which should be the title of this podcast, by the way. The global debt bomb is like a pile of 2,500 tons of ammonium nitrate. The global debt bomb is sitting there. It's getting bigger. And it appears to be rather benign on a day-to-day basis. You walk past it. You go, ah, there's a giant debt bomb there, but it's fine today. It hasn't blown up today. It's not going anywhere. It's not on fire. It doesn't look menacing. It must be fine. We'll just ignore it for another year and another year and another year. And then one day, there's a spark, and the debt bomb goes kaboom. And you're setting into motion events that have been wound up, that have been stored and compressed, that must follow the laws of physics or economics, mathematics, chemistry, whatever. This is what we have built. We've built, as a world, a giant, a massive global debt bomb, and it's only going to take one spark to set it off. And that spark may have already been unleashed. And that spark may have been the whole coronavirus shutdowns, the lockdowns, which set into motion a series of events that now appear to be irreversible. Like there's no coming back from this massive global debt bomb. And when it goes off, it's going to be just as shocking and surprising and destructive as that bomb in Beirut. People are going to say, what just happened? Oh my God, I can't believe it. I mean, it's been fine for years. Why now? What just happened to set this thing off? Well, the reality is the debt bomb, the fuel for it has been building for decades, and that's debt. So you might think of the Federal Reserve as a bunch of terrorists. In fact, they're building a giant bomb out of debt. Remember, they don't print money, really. They print debt. They print obligations, U.S. Treasury debt to the Fed. Every time the Fed prints money, the Treasury has to borrow it to put it into circulation. So they're really creating debt. Now, debt is the currency of slaves, whereas gold, you could say, is the currency of kings or citizens. Gold and silver, the currency of citizens. Debt is the currency of slaves. And fiat currency is the currency of, I don't know, what would you say, the oblivious masses? But debt is the currency of slaves. And when this debt bomb goes off, it's going to be far more destructive than what we saw in Beirut. the ramifications are going to be absolutely enormous. And just like with the bomb in Beirut, we don't know exactly when it's going to be set off. Now, you may be aware I've got a sponsor now for the financial related podcasts here. And the sponsor is found at metalswithmike.com. It's a great company run by Patriot Christians called Treasure Island Precious Metals and Coins. And they offer a fantastic pricing, really the most competitive that I've seen. This is why I sought them out on gold and silver. No numismatics. They're not pushing numismatics or collector's coins. They're able to get you raw ounces of, you know, U.S. Mint, gold eagles, silver eagles, and so on, or other types of coins if you want those, at the best prices that I've seen. And hundreds of dollars less per ounce than what I've been quoted by other companies out there, by the way. So they can save you a ton of money. If you want to get gold and silver, which I'm doing right now, which really means trading fiat currency for gold or silver, physical gold in your possession, then call this company, Treasure Island. Check out their phone number and today's gold and silver prices at metalswithmike.com. And by the way, I'm not paid any commissions on your sales, just a flat sponsorship fee from them. So check them out. Now, getting back to the ramifications of all of this, we saw in Beirut, you know, the destruction of the buildings, the windows blown out. Some buildings were vaporized, just gone. Entire parking lots full of cars were gone. Shipping containers vaporized, disintegrated, right? Homes were damaged, I read, up to 10 kilometers away. That is a massive, massive bomb. And yet, it's nothing compared to the economic debt bomb that is right under our noses. And if you thought the economic situation was bad here because of the lockdowns and COVID-19, just wait until the debt bomb gets ignited and goes kaboom. You're going to see a level of economic destruction that has never been witnessed before in human history, with the destruction of the dollar and all assets that are denominated in dollars, such as your savings account, for example, or, you know, many pension obligations, entitlement obligations, retirement funds, and so on. You know, the stock market will be just gutted. And there's a rumor going around kind of in the QAnon areas of society that say that Trump is actually spearheading an effort to take down the central bank, to get rid of dishonest money, and to roll out a new gold-backed currency that's honest money that can allow America to experience abundance from that day forward. If we had honest money owned by the people instead of owned by the central banksters, you know, the globalist cartels that run the Federal Reserve. So that's the theory. Well, okay, I don't know if I believe that, but let's suppose it's true. Let's just suppose it's true. If we move to a gold-backed currency, the value of gold is going to skyrocket. Every ounce of gold that you own before that announcement comes, if it ever does, and I'm not saying that I believe it would. I'm not sure America has enough gold to announce a gold-backed currency. Maybe China does. I don't think America does, but who knows? Who knows? Maybe they've been secretly gathering it in underground bases under the Denver, Colorado airport or something. Who knows? There's gold in them, their tunnels or whatever, you know? If they announce a gold-backed currency and you own any significant amount of gold, your wealth is going to explode because gold will be fixed to the new currency, you know, to be a gold-backed currency. It probably won't be called the dollar. It'll be like the Amero or something. And there'll be a fixed exchange rate. Let's say 1 ounce of gold for 1,000 Ameros, as an example. And that new currency might be a digital hybrid currency. It might be like partially crypto, partially real, you know, whatever. As long as it's tied to gold, that's what gives it some value. And when our dollar collapses, people will be demanding currency that's backed by something, such as gold, because no one will have any faith in fake currencies anymore because they will have just experienced getting totally ripped off by the collapse of the dollar. So there's going to be a tremendous amount of demand and interest in a gold-backed currency of some kind, whether it's a cryptocurrency or a hard currency, you know, or a fiat currency, whatever. Owning gold at the time that that transition happens is going to be like striking it rich in a Texas oil field in 1922 or something. It's going to be like a fountain of wealth because you were smart enough to have gold and silver ahead of time. And that's why I encourage people that when you're acquiring gold and silver right now, hold on to it. This is not a speculation game in some short-term, you know, investment thing. where you buy gold at $2,000 an ounce and then you sell it at $5,000 an ounce. No, you should hold on to gold until it's worth $50,000. You know what I mean? It's going to go so high in terms of dollars that the numbers, it's pointless to even talk about them, because as the dollar collapses, its value versus gold, the dollar's value becomes, you know, very, very small. So the number of dollars required to buy an ounce of gold will one day probably go to, you know, a million as the currency is totally collapsing. What's going to matter is the exchange value with the new currency and the purchasing power that that represents in the new currency. Whereas today, an ounce of gold, as I'm recording this, is about $2,200 or $2,300 physical gold. And that purchases a certain amount of goods and services, you know, a certain amount of food. Maybe it pays rent on a relatively small home in a rural setting somewhere. In the future, with the new currency rolling out, replacing the dollar, which will happen, by the way, the question becomes, what's the trade-in value of the gold in that new currency, and what does that new currency buy compared to what the gold was able to purchase today? In other words, if an ounce of gold today pays 1 month's rent, an ounce of gold in the future, if we have a gold-backed currency, might pay 1 year's worth of rent, okay? In other words, you're going to get much more return of actual real-world value if there's a gold-backed currency announced, because gold will become far more scarce under those circumstances. But there's also a risk, of course, that a government may outlaw gold, and then, you know, you'd have to bury it or hide it, or I don't know, you could comply and turn it in. I'm not going to. No, sorry, not interested in turning over my gold to some criminal government if that's what they decide to do. No, I'm going to hold on to it if I have to. You know, I'll bury it somewhere that nobody can find it, and that'll be that. I'm not afraid to admit that. I don't have to comply with some criminal order, you know, but they've done it before in America's history. They've done it before. They could do it again. But the only reason they would be doing that is because they're so desperate during the collapse. After the collapse, they would re-legalize gold in order to have a gold-backed currency. So, you know, there's a lot at play here, and there are definitely risks in every sector. If you hold on to currency, that's a risk. If you hold on to physical gold, I guess there's always a risk that it could lose value, but history has shown that gold holds value better than anything else. In fact, did you know that the dollar has lost, I think it's 40% of its value versus gold in just, what, 20 years? Something like that. I have to look up the exact numbers. But gold has held its value, think about it, since 1913, the formation of the Fed. You know, the dollar has lost something like 98% of its value versus gold. And gold hasn't lost any value. Gold has held its value that entire time. So nothing holds value better than gold. And when that giant Beirut bomb of debt explodes and shatters the world's economic system and takes down the banks, takes down the hedge funds, takes down the derivatives and all the fake investment vehicles, it's only going to come down to a few simple things that continue to hold value. And it's the same things that I've said on these podcasts over and over again for years: gold and silver and land. Those are your first tier assets. Second tier is, you know, firearms, ammunition, fuel, diesel fuel tanks, tractors, tools, things like that, things that have real world practical value. But if you don't have gold and silver and land, then you won't be able to restart in the new economy. Those are the things that are going to tide you over to restart when there's a new currency announced, or when there's a collapse and then a restructuring of society, maybe a whole new nation, a whole new government, a whole new world. Who knows? But in that new world, gold and silver and land will always have value for reasons that I've talked about in other podcasts, reasons related to physics and, you know, human needs. Everybody needs space. Everybody needs land. Everybody needs food. Everybody wants shelter, you know, a roof over their head, and so on. And gold and silver have properties that make them unique on the table of elements. And that's what gives them their value and their scarcity. So stay informed. Read my website, newstarget.com, which I'm sure you're familiar with. And also, don't forget, I've got the free 9-hour audiobook, The Global Reset Survival Guide, that you can download for free. All the MP3 files, you can get them today. Just go to globalreset.news and you get those. Again, all free of charge. Download the MP3s and you can listen to me talk about the coming collapse. and solutions and what to do for 9 hours. If you can handle that, I don't know. You might have to just bite off an hour at a time. 9 hours might be overload. I'm not sure about that because I didn't hire some other narrator to read my words. I kind of wanted to explain it myself. So, yep, it's me for 9 hours, if you can handle it. But thank you for listening. Mike Adams here. Stay safe, be prepared, and we will survive this. We'll meet on the other side of this and help rebuild a new society rooted in liberty, rooted in honest money, and not building debt bombs all over the world that are going to blow up in our faces. How's that? Let's stop the financial terrorism of our world, okay? We can do that together, but we got to make it through this event first. Thanks for listening.